Amen. Let's get into the Word tonight, all right? I want you to swing over to 1 John 4:7, and we are going to read all the way down 1 John 4:7-21. Tonight, I want to talk about the topic, Hello, Love. And we're going to get into this. I'll tell you what, it seems like every time I've been preaching the last month, whether it's Chantel or my wife doing worship, they always talking about something on my sermon. So get out of my prayer closet. Whatever you're doing, he's my Holy Spirit. And it's like she's always on point. And so I just want to talk about this thing called love in a different way, a different angle here tonight. And we're going to get into this. So y'all ready? There's going to be some ouch moments, some amen moments, some exciting moments, some challenging moments, some moments to surrender to. So we're going to get into this tonight. So, all right. Say amen when you're ready. All right, 1 John 4:7-21, we're going to go there. Before we get there, I want you to think about something here tonight as it relates to love. Because as men, now we live in a different day, a different culture, especially for me coming up. From my day, it seems to be foreign, some of the stuff that we're seeing now as I measure it from my youth, my childhood. The world is changing. And one of the things that when we talk about love, so many, when I say, well, I'm going to preach on love, a lot of people would assume, well, this is going to be one of those soft type of tender messages. It almost has, if you will, for lack of a better term, a feminine feeling attached to it, because it's love. It's what we do when we're soft and those type of things. And then when I talk about faith, it's like this militant stance comes out, like faith to move mountains, to speak. You speak to faith, and then this warrior comes out when I talk about faith. But I want to do the reverse today, because I want you to understand that you need to put the militant posture with love. Okay, because there's nothing that Paul said is greater. When you talk about faith and hope and you put those together, he said out of these three things, faith, hope, and love, which one is greater? He says love. After Paul started teaching on the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 13, he was telling them about the spiritual gifts, trying to teach them how to operate. Because you got to remember, the Corinth church in the first century was just gathering for worship. And as they gathered for worship, people with no titles, no nothing, started to flow in the Holy Spirit. People just like you would flow in the Holy Spirit. You're like, man, how can I flow? I've never prophesied. I've never done none of that stuff. Have you ever surrendered? Have you ever asked God for it? You'll never flow in a thing you do not covet. Some of you are content just being on the receiving side of a gift. And God is preparing you to be the one that is actually operating in it. And you have conditioned yourself to just be the one that gets the words. My God. And so we need to grow in this thing. So Paul has this Corinth church, and these people they're flowing in the gifts. So Paul writes a letter to them. He writes a letter. He says, listen, let me teach you about the different gifts and how they operate and wisdom and this and that. And he goes on and he writes this whole letter. And then after he teaches them, like, man, this is how prophecy works and what this is and all this stuff. Then after he's done teaching it, and he establishes all the gifts, and he says, here's your gift, how you flow, gets them all excited about the gift. Then he says, now let me show you a more excellent way. And then he teaches on love. Because love always is greater than your gift. When you do not have nothing to prophesy, you still have a heart to love. God is using you when you have nothing that comes to mind to say to an individual other than I love you. Whew. So this is going to be some moments here today. So this is something that I want to get everybody to say this. Love is the strongest force in the world. In the world. Everybody say, God is love. We need to separate them, because we have been almost, we say God is love, but we've been trained to interpret God has love. And that's not what Scripture teaches. Never says God has love, said God is love. You cannot separate God from love. You cannot separate God from love. I put this down if you're taking notes. This before we even get into 1 John here. The measure of our love walk is also the measure that God is working in your life. In other words, let me try to break that down. Well, let's get into 1 John first. I'll let John break it down first, and then I'll come on the backside. Let's read. We're going to start verse 7. We're going to go all the way down to 21. Just say amen when you're ready.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God.
All right, right there. Listen, lock in now. It's time to really lock in because we're here to grab this. You're not here to hear a sermon. You're here to grab a revelation from the Father. Okay? So open up. Look at what he just said right there. He said, love, watch this, verse 7, behold, let us love who? One another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God, and here's the kicker, and knows God. I want you to get that, thank you, sir. Everybody who, look, loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I want you to really, I need you to really do me a favor tonight and examine your heart for real, for real. Because if there is anything in you that holds hate for anybody, you do not have permission to walk around saying you know God. You are now operating in a different dimension than what you should be operating as it relates to people who know God. You do not know God if you are holding something in your heart towards anybody that is not love. You don't know what they did to me, Pastor. There ain't nothing in John that talks about what they did to you. There's nothing. God don't even, that doesn't even come into the argument with God. God is love. Again, it's not God has love. God's not asking you to have love for people. He's saying, I am love, and when you are in me and I am in you, you become something. It's not something you just do because it is a command. It is something you become. The purpose of encountering God is to transform our hearts. Now, there's reasons why we struggle with loving people. You may think it's because of what they did to you, and I'm telling you that's not it. We're going to get deep into this thing tonight because this goes very, very deep when you start talking about love. So let's continue. Pick up where you left off there, PT.
And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God.
Continue.
The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son.
Man, this is profound right here. God sent his only. No options left. He demonstrated love by giving all of it. He didn't give and say, okay, if that don't work out, I still got a reserve. He gave his only begotten Son. And all through Scripture, when he talks about giving his Son, he makes sure that it's only begotten in front of it. Because he's saying, all I have to give, I've given. There's nothing in the storage here. I don't have another one of these. This is what I'm giving. Which automatically tells me that love always stands in the position of vulnerability. You talking about wanting to know God, it's impossible without becoming vulnerable. We are so afraid to do relationships because we are in self-protect mode, because we've been hurt. And what we do is we get and clam up into our own little world, our own little island, and we only let in people that we like, thinking that we have a good love a good love relationship. You cannot measure your love relationship if you're surrounded by people that you like. If the only people that are in your world are the people that you choose because you like them, you like how you feel around them, you like how they make you feel, you can't measure if you're walking in love there, because you are definitely walking in like. This is something that we got to get, because I want you to be thinking in terms that to know God and to love God are the same thing. I want you to understand that if I don't have love, I don't have God. If I don't know love, I don't know God. If love is vulnerable and I'm not vulnerable, I'm not willing to be vulnerable, then I'm not really getting to know God. What happens is, if you're surrounded by people that you like because you chose them out of fear, then what you're going to do on the other side is you're going to have religion thinking you know God. This over here will make you religious because you've created constructs that are built to protect you from ever being vulnerable because you don't want to hurt no more. And so over here you say, well, I know God because God is love and I love those people. No, 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 no. You love people that's easy to love for you. Love does not require trust to love. Man, if I've ever said anything deep in this house, that is it. You got to remember. Now listen, trust is a big issue in relationships. That's a huge issue. Marriage, you need trust. Come on, somebody. Relationships, to a certain level, you need trust. But love does not need it. Because love is an offensive posture that we take that becomes a healing agent for the person that we're loving. You may be loving them so that you can heal their issues. It's not about you when you really contact love. Why? Because you don't have love, you are becoming it. So it's not a switch that you turn on and turn off. It's easy. Some of y'all been in relationships. Joker keep treating you like trash. Why are you there? I'll tell you why you're there. Because love endures all things. Should you be there? Maybe not. Love you. She gonna say it, y'all. But love endures because it's the nature of love to endure. Why would a woman stay in a relationship that is causing her pain? Why? Because the nature of love is to endure. But you got to be careful. There's a difference between enduring a thing and staying in a thing. Because fear will cause you to stay, to where love will cause you to endure. Enduring can transition in the relationship to where you can transition from a thing led by the Spirit but still have love for it. To where fear will cause you to cling to a thing that's hurting you. Fear is you working on an individual. Love is God.
That's right.
Man, I'm teaching tonight, y'all. I'm going to teach like it's a full house tonight. Listen, I'm telling you. There's a big difference, y'all. If you remain in the thing because of fear, it's you trying to fix the issues. Don't do this, do this, do this, don't do this, control this, blah, 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 blah. Because you are afraid. Why? Because you can't see a future beyond what you're tied to. But love is different. Love is, no, I can endure a thing. God may change how it operates, but I'll endure a thing. My heart ain't going to change towards what you told me, because I am becoming love. But God goes to work. It's a difference. Man, man, man. This may, I don't know what's going over your head now. This is some profound stuff. So let's continue to read here. Come on, John, keep ripping on us.
That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him.
Yep.
And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Man, that's a pretty deep thing right there. He just literally compared, like, the sacrifice that was given at the cross as a propitiation for sins. Did y'all catch that? That means that he's teaching us love off of a demonstration of him coming down, not having done anything to deserve it, but sacrificed himself for it. That's a pretty steep standard, y'all. See, this is why people don't know God, because they do not understand love. We want like comfortability. When most of us look for people to have relationship with, we look for compatibility from a posture of wanting to feel safe, known, but not challenged. Most of us are only growing at the speed of our own self-correction, and you don't do that often. Truth. We are having to really examine this. Continue. What is that? Can somebody get that? That's the fourth time. What is that? Let's grab it. Whoever's phone that is, whatever that is. Yeah, thank you.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is...
Yep, watch that. Say it again, Pastor Tim. No one has seen God at any time. Look at this, y'all. Man, this is so deep to me. I was reading this earlier like, good Lord. No one has seen God. That's a huge statement. Moses wrote the Ten Commandments that he come down the mountain with. The reason why the Jewish community idolizes Moses is because they feel that he had seen God. Now, we know that the scriptures in Exodus is clear that he's seen the hinder parts of God. Can I get deep for a second? The hinder parts there in the Hebrew is something completely different than just the backside of God. It's not like God has a back. God is a spirit. When you see the hinder parts of God, this is very important. God put in the cleft of the rock, and as he walked by, it was a revelation of what happened in the past. It wasn't his backside. It was a revelation of what took place in the past. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses did. When was he born? Exodus. How did he get the revelation of what happened in the garden? Because in Exodus, he seen the hinder parts. He seen the backside of God. He seen what was behind him. Come on, somebody. The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is all written by Moses. He was born in Exodus. It don't even make no sense. How do you know in the beginning God created the heavens? Oh, you wasn't there, dude. Ooh, I just said something. And here's John saying, no one's seen God. Not even Moses. Nobody's seen God at any time. But look, he said, if we love one another. You want to know why there's atheists in your family? You're not loving right. They haven't seen God. He's reserved revelation about himself in the context of the way we love one another. He has hid himself only to be seen in the way we demonstrate love towards each other. You stop loving each other, it seems like God is nowhere to be found. You start loving each other, there he is. Oh, there he is. Why? Because that's how God is seen. Loving each other. My God, in the third dimension, man, I got some stuff tonight. But the third dimension, you got the Old Testament, you got the three dimensions of the tabernacle. In the Old Testament, you got the courtyard, which is number one, right? Then you'd go through the... You'd go through the curtain, and then in the second dimension, you would have the altar of incense, the table of showbread, right? You'd have the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the candlesticks. They all represent something different prophetically. There was candles that was in there. There was incense. The smell was going up. That's why the Bible says that our worship is a sweet-smelling savor. It's like God actually smells your worship. It creates incense, somebody. Then the candlesticks is the illuminated word. It's when you read something and all of a sudden, boom, your eyes open and you see something you've never seen before. God has given you vision. How many seen Thor? Y'all seen the movie Thor? You remember when the brother that can see, he can see in other worlds. Thor needed to see somewhere, but he was in another dimension. But he connected to that guy and he said, help me see. And then all of a sudden Thor could see in a different dimension. That's what the illuminated word is. That's what the illuminated word is. And then, come on now, you got the altar of incense, the table of showbread. Then you got the showbread. The showbread is the manna. It's what you're digesting. The second dimension is all about your diet and your spiritual health. What you see, what you eat, what you smell. It's all these things, but it's second dimensional living. That's not what we're called to do. We're in the third dimension. Second dimensional living is different. It's where man helps God. How do I know that? Because if you study numerology and you study type and shadows, in the second dimension, you have all the things I just said, and they're all gold-plated. The candles, the thing that would hold the candles was gold-plated, but it wasn't real gold all the way through. It was just painted like gold. Then the altar of incense was the same thing, and then the table of showbread was the same thing, but it was all built out of wood, but painted like gold. On the outside, it looked like gold, but on the inside, it was wood. Wood is a representation of man. Gold is a representation of deity. The second dimension is man still helping God. But the third dimension, when you get to the Ark of the Covenant, it is 100% gold, which means it's all God. It's no more you helping God. Now God just took over, said, I'll do a thing. Right? But here's the beauty on the Ark of the Covenant. You have two cherubim, two angels that are staring at each other. They're sitting on the ark and they're literally looking at each other. Why is that important? Because that's always where God abides, in the middle of two created things looking at each other the right way. It's always been about the way you and I treat each other that demonstrates the heart of the Father. It's always about how we treat each other demonstrates the heart of God. You want to see God? It's found in the way you love me. It's not found in the how well I am living out this morality side. It's not found in none of that stuff. It doesn't matter my behavior, your behavior, what you're doing. It's found in the way you love me. Pastor, they're hard to love. So are you. Joker, do you see you? As a pastor, man, I'm blown away at some of the people who be like, Pastor, you just don't know what so-and-so. I'm like, mirror. Like, some of the people, man, it blows you away at their inability to see themselves before they complain about somebody else. We usually hate the things in other people that we struggle with individually. It's okay tonight. Man, I'm trying. Whew. Let's continue, Pastor Tim. Pick that up there.
No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us.
Right there. Big deal. You do not grow spiritually. I'm going to tell you why some of you have not grown spiritually. You've been in church for 15 years and you're still the same measure of spirituality that you was then. Because you think prayer, fasting, and worship fix you. The only thing that matures you is me. The only thing that matures me is you. What did he say? He said, God abides in us. His love is then perfected in us. He said, no, Jenny said, nobody's seen God. Nobody's seen God. He said, but love one another. Then he said, God abides in that, right? But then his love is perfected in us. How do you get into a place of perfection? You need me. There's a reason why Jesus tagged 12 people and one of them he knew would betray him. Come on now. You need a Judas to grow. Jesus didn't even go to the cross and say, man, I hate that Judas. No, he went to the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. It wasn't nails that held him to the cross. It was love. Nails didn't hold him to the cross. It was love. He stayed there because of love. They're never going to get it if I don't endure this. You can never resurrect a thing if you don't die first. We got to quit avoiding our seasons of death so we can come into our seasons of birth. You can't skip that process. Man, this is good teaching, PG. Whew. My God. Can you say amen? The growth that you're looking for is found in the relationships you're assigned to. You have to quit avoiding the tough assignments. They get on my nerves. God put them there to do that. They're not getting on your spirit. They're getting on your flesh. Why do you think they're irritating your flesh? Because that's the thing that needs to die. They're exposing where you lack love. Man, I could just put the mic down. Come on, anybody know anybody? They get on your nerves. Don't look at them if they're sitting next to you. But they get on your nerves sometimes. Come on now, say amen. Let me hear you. Am I the only one? They get on your last nerve, the last one before God sewed you up, that one. Right? But you're like, man, the quick fix is I ain't calling them no more. I ain't texting them no more. I'm blocking them. You know, Facebook give us that block version. You know, that block button is a, you know, that's a God thing. Kind of. They're just going to friend request you from a fake page anyway. Your enemy's always going to keep tabs on you. It's the truth. It is. Let me quit. I'll be messaging these random pictures like, I know it's you. I'm not accepting this. They friend request you 100 times. You know it's them. But your growth is attached to your assignment. The people that God put in your life that are difficult to love. Why? Because through that struggle, you're becoming a thing. Can I tell you something different? The growth that you're looking for, you actually already have. It is just literally being smothered by your flesh. You actually don't need to grow anymore. You need to decrease so you can see what you're made of. That's the truth. You're already a giant. There's a reason why when the Hebrews was trying to go into the land of Canaan, that spies come back and said, man, there's giant food in that land. There's giants. Well, what do you think? God ain't calling you to a place that it doesn't take giant. He put the giant food there because giant is what he's called you to become. He's given you enough produce to satisfy the appetite that you're supposed to have once walking into real identity. So here we go. I don't want to get too off here, but I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, just real quick. Are y'all with me? All right. So now we've established that knowing God requires loving people. If you don't love people, you don't know God. I'm sorry. You can be a singer, but not a worshiper. You can be a good singer, but not a good worshiper. If you don't love people, you do not love God. You can be, yes, you can be a prayer. You can be a prayer warrior. You could be a prayer warrior. That doesn't get you closer to God. Y'all crazy. It could be a prayer warrior, but it doesn't get you closer to God. Why? Because loving people does. Do you see what I'm saying? Why does loving people matter so much, guys? Because it gets self out of the way. I cannot make this point any better. It gets self out of the way. There is things that you do not know about yourself until you love somebody that is difficult to love. So watch it. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13.
If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels,
yep,
but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned.
Guys, did you catch that right there? If I give everything that I have to the poor and surrender my body to be burned, he's saying that you can literally sacrifice thinking it's love, but it's not love. There is a condition that is so insecure that it will give out of insecurity only to feel a certain, like it's almost a pride that I'm given to be seen. Like Judas, for instance. Well, we talk about Judas all the time. Well, Judas didn't just betray Jesus. Judas, you got to understand, the word Judas is a derivative from the word Judah. It means to praise God. You can't say Judas without praising God. That's significant because the very person that would betray him to even call him out, you still had to attach it to praising God. I'll let you sit on that for a second. Okay, second of all, you have to understand, what was Judas's job? You got me that time. No. Judas's job was the treasurer. Y'all catching this? He was the money guy. Do you guys remember when the woman came? Listen, I want to pull it in here. We got a lot going on. Pull it in. Remember when Judas came, or excuse me, when Mary came and she poured the oil out at the feet of Jesus, the expensive oil? Who was the guy who had a problem with it? Judas. But why though? What did he say? Hang on. What did he say? He said, we could give the, if you go to John 12:6, it literally says that. Matter of fact, go to John 12 real quick. John 12, verse 6. I believe that's it. Somewhere around 5 or 6 or 7. Look at what Judas said here. Okay, watch. Jesus. Go down. Yep, go down to verse 6. There we go. Look at here. Look at what it says here. She just poured the perfume. Sold for 300 denarii. That's a lot of money given to the poor for people. Now, watch. Look at what Judas says. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was... Now, he didn't sign up for discipleship class. He was picked by Jesus. There was nobody... There was no line to sign up. Like, hey, I'm signing up. No. Jesus tagged him, knowing what he would do. And he said, listen... who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold to 300 denarii? That sounds good on the outside. Like, man, we could have cashed him for this. But then look at what the verse 6 says. Now, look at what it says. Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had, look at, and as he had the money box, he used to what? Come on, what was into it? In other words, he was already taking cash out the money bag. He was robbing Christ. Woo, my God. He was already robbing Christ. On the outside, it looked like, man, why don't we give this to the poor? Yeah, but Judas thought he was going to, yeah. Well, here, Judas, take that and go give it to the poor. He's going to give a little bit to the poor and then stack his pockets. Why did he betray Jesus? For what? What did that relationship with Jesus cost him? 30 shekels. Greed is what got him caught up. There is a condition that will give and on the outside look sincere, but if you do not deal with the heart, even your giving is hypocritical. Even your giving is hypocritical. You hearing this? Somebody grab this. I got to finish this here. Even your giving is hypocritical. And what I'm trying to get to us here tonight, you cannot become what God has called you to be from the outside, externally trying to look the part.
Yeah. Come on.
You have to get down in the dirt and let love do the work. When God says the only way they see me is by the way you love one another, that is when the very image of the Father is now within sight for the world to see, y'all. If you are not loving people correctly, I don't care how much you're worshiping, you are not revealing the Father to anybody. To anybody. Y'all guys remember, well, I can't remember how long ago, when I got up here and I told you what I was struggling with, and I said, man, I need prayer. God was in the room. Why? Y'all got up here and loved on me. You know how hard that was for me to do that? Now, I know I've taught you grace, but that don't mean you know it. I was putting faith in you, learning it, having learned it. I was like, man, this is either going to go really bad or really good. And so I said, my healing is more important than my ability to control a thing. And so I said, here it is, you know. And God used you. Why? Because love is vulnerable. Last point here. So let me get to 1 Corinthians 13. What time we got here? Okay, watch. Give me 5 minutes. 1 Corinthians 13, watch.
If I speak with the tongues of angels and of men, but do not have love, I have become
noisy. Let's get to love is patient part here. Yep. Verse. Yep.
Love is patient.
Well, watch.
Love is.
Matter of fact, can everybody read that with me? Come on, say, love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. Okay, let's go back real quick. Go back real quick. How many struggle with patience? Come on, let me see your hands. Let's get some faith out there. Woo! All right. Come on. Love is kind. How many struggle with some kindness? How many's ever been jealous? Be honest. Why, though? Why are you jealous? You have to examine yourself. Don't answer that out loud. Why are you jealous? What makes a person jealous? Do you think it has anything to do with anybody else's success? Or does their success expose your lack of? That's where jealousy comes from. Love, when you're perfected in love, which the only way we can be perfected in love, it's not worshiping. You don't get perfected by vertical expressions. You get perfected by getting involved with your community and loving the way you're supposed to love. Why? Because in relationships, God has put the solution to your issues. It's in a relationship. You just got to love to unlock it. The greatest journey you will ever take is in the relationships you are assigned to, not the ones you like. The ones you are assigned to. Man, this is good stuff tonight. And so, look at, love is patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering. Ooh, my God, look at, love does not brag, it is not arrogant. Look at here, continue. Now, listen, who are we talking about right here, though? Talking about God. Who's love? God is love. Does not act unbecoming. It does not seek its own. That is huge. That's huge. That's why we have relationship problems, because we're seeking our own. Come on, somebody. It's not provoked. That's a big deal, too. It's not provoked. It's hard to provoke patience. Watch. Does not take into account. Oh, my God. Wrongs suffered. In other words, it keeps no record of wrongs. It keeps no records of wrongs, y'all. That's a huge, huge thing. Now listen, you say, man, that's hard to do. Absolutely. That's why God is love. That's talking about God. But here's the beauty. This is how you grow. I'm trying to get you to see this. You keep avoiding relationships, you're going to stay in the position that you're in. You want to grow, you're going to have to embrace people. And I wrote this down. If you're taking notes, I want you to get this. If you want to know God, it would demand relationships that require these attributes. You cannot talk about love without needing patience, long-suffering, enduring all things, hope with all things, believing all things. This stuff is attached to love. these things are all responses to some form of dysfunction. That's profound. So, Holy Spirit, why would you bring that toxic person into my life? So that he can be seen through the way you love. He's trying to grow you up. So you're going to need Judas. You've got to have him. And as soon as he betrays you, remember what the name means. Praise God. That's it, man. It's it. Back in the day, man, when we was doing more traveling as it relates to music and stuff, there was a time where we was traveling, and I'd meet a lot of musicians or singers, and we'd go to these different engagements. We'd always go backstage or whatever was the format of the engagement, and the musicians come up, shake our hands, they'd be like, man, y'all was great, or man, it was anointed, it was killing, or whatever the verbiage was. And I say, man, dude, I heard you over there, man. You sound great. He said, yeah, just pray for me. And I would always stop and say, what? What are we praying for? they was just asking me to pray for them out of false humility. It wasn't, they didn't even have a need in their head, like, yo, pray for me. No, I said, what? What do we pray for? Because real humility knows how to receive a compliment without feeling like it's causing them to become haughty. You know, because that's what identity does. When you know who you are in God, someone says, man, you was anointed now. I say, thank you, sir. Thank you. Man, you preach good tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Why? Because the more you grow in your identity, the more we already know anything you've seen come from him. We already know that, right? That's a no-brainer. But the sincerity that real identity has that's been shaped by love is different. It's not pretending. It is a sincerity that happens, and that only happens when you are formed through love. You are not growing through worship. You're not growing through prayer. You're not growing through any of that stuff. You're growing through the way you love one another. That's what John says, you're perfected in this by loving one another. You want to stay in the position you're at? Keep that grudge. Keep that offense. You ain't hurting nobody but you, man. You the one going to look up in 10 years like, man, what happened? You happened. You held on to something you should have let go a long time ago. And it's time that we, guys, man, we have to, if vertical encounter is anything, I've often, with Doreen and Tim and Candace and that Pastor Oz, everybody, the leaders that we get together and we talk, and we talk about the mission and the, what is vertical encounter? You know, at the end of the day, I believe the preaching's good. So you going to talk my whole sermon? I can't get an amen right now? Are you? Okay, I got you. Okay, hey, okay, there you go. All right. And then the worship is great. Now that. The worship is great, y'all. Man, y'all quiet. The worship is great. But you know what is the strength of this house? It's love. How many remember feeling love the first time you came? That's what we do, man. That's what we do. And I want to encourage that and strengthen that. Is that the most important thing we do? I believe yes. Because that's where God is truly, genuinely seen. It's in the way we love one another. Here's the whole point tonight, and I'm finishing. You want to grow? Start loving people that's difficult. Ask the Lord, don't just love them out of duty, love them out of service. Love them out of delight, not just duty. God, give me a heart like yours towards people, to love them the way that you love me. Help me to become a thing, not just have a thing. Okay? Everybody say, I am becoming love. I am becoming love. You can stand with me.